Good evening and welcome to City Visions. I'm guest host Eric Jansen, sitting in for Joseph Pache. Tonight, as part of our election coverage, we consider the contest for sheriff of the city and county of San Francisco. Among the many issues in this race are San Francisco's sanctuary city policy, disproportionate incarceration rates of people of color, inmate treatment, rehabilitation and recidivism, and protection of staff and patients at SF General Hospital and Laguna Honda. We're pleased to be joined this evening by current Sheriff Ross Mercurimi and his two opponents, Vicki Hennessy and John Robinson. Incumbent Ross Mercurimi is a former San Francisco supervisor representing District 5 from 2005 through 2011. He was elected sheriff 4 years ago this November and sworn in January 2012. His tenure includes a recent award from Harvard University for the department's Five Keys Charter High School in San Francisco County Jail and other recognitions for jail improvements, but his tenure has included several controversies that will no doubt come up during this hour. Mercurimi is endorsed by his 32-year predecessor, Sheriff Mike Hennessy, and former Mayor Art Agnos. Welcome, Sheriff Mercurimi.
Thank you.
We're also joined in studio by John Robinson, who was a prison guard at San Quentin and a parole officer in the early 70s and was in the sheriff's department from 1973 to 1994, retired in 94, now runs his own private security company. He's endorsed by the Bayview newspaper, mostly representing the African-American community. John Robinson, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Challenger Vicki Hennessy, no relation to former Sheriff Mike Hennessy, joined the Sheriff's Department in 1975 and eventually rose to the office of Chief Deputy. In 2008, Mayor Gavin Newsom appointed her San Francisco's Director of Emergency Management, where she directed 911 response. In 2012, when Mayor Ed Lee suspended Mercurimi pending an ethics probe that Mercurimi and his supporters claim is politically motivated, Lee appointed Hennessy interim sheriff, the first woman to hold that position. Mayor Lee has endorsed her in this race, as has the San Francisco Deputy Sheriff's Association. She joins us by phone and maybe we hope here in the studio at some point later this hour. Welcome, Vicki Hennessy.
Thank you so much.
So thank you all for being here on City Visions. At about 20 minutes after the hour, we'll invite our listeners to join our conversation by calling 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. You can also email us right now at cityvisions@kalw.org. Or post a comment on KALW.org or on our Facebook page. Our Twitter handle is @CityVisionsKALW. Do you have any questions for the candidates about law enforcement? Have you had an experience related to a county jail? What do you want to know about the Sheriff's Department and its responsibilities in the current race? So now let's hear from the candidates themselves. Vicki Hennessy, let me start with you. Please give us the highlights of your experience. And by the way, I'm going to ask all three of you the same question. The highlights of your experience in an elevator speech style, if you would. We can get to in further depth later. But especially for you, Vicki, after retiring a few years ago, why do you want this job, too?
Okay. Yes. Well, first of all, I was born and raised in San Francisco, graduated from Lowell High School, entered the Sheriff's Department, as you said, in 1975, rose through the ranks very quickly. I spent 25 years in the Sheriff's Department in executive and management positions, always working to professionalize the department, holding myself accountable, working with others. I was in charge of every division at one time or another. And one of the reasons I'm running is to restore leadership to the department, and hope as someone who holds herself accountable and sets the example, I am running to take care of ensuring a balance between criminal and social justice, and I'm also running because I want to ensure effective government through communication.
Thank you very much. Sheriff Mercurimi, please give us the highlights of your experience and, again, the elevator speech of your experience, and especially in light of the stresses you've had to endure over the past during your tenure, why do you want to continue as sheriff?
All the more reason, then. As sheriff, I also believe not just in increasing public safety, but I believe in the power of redemption, and that in 2011, when I ran for sheriff, I vowed that I would carry on the policies of my predecessor, Sheriff Mike Hennessy, who endorsed me then and who endorses me today, and innovate in ways that San Francisco hasn't seen. And I feel, despite any of the obstacles and the perceptions of handicap that people may have, we have made our sheriff's department and continue to a national leader in the criminal justice system. We're the first sheriff's department under my administration, where we've instituted the Affordable Care Act so that patients, I'm sorry, inmates being discharged have access to health insurance, unlike that they did before. Dropping the visiting age for a jail system in the United States from 18 to 16 to work on reunification efforts between children and incarcerated parents. I'm the first sheriff to preside over the lowest jail population ever. And as you prefaced, for Harvard University to come to San Francisco and recognize a bestow award to the only law enforcement agency in the United States on how we can decrease recidivism through our in-custody and post-custody education system. Only law enforcement in the country to receive this award. And of course, naturally, that made page 10 of the Chronicle instead of the front page.
John Robinson, tell us the highlights of your background and experience and why you want this job.
I was the operational commander for the department, administrative assistant to two sheriffs, Richard Hengisto and Eugene Brown. Worked in every aspect of the department. Reason I got involved in this race was because of the demonstration of lack of leadership that was creating circumstances where there was a lack of protocol, people weren't following policies and procedures, and I felt at the time someone needed to stand up and alert San Francisco to how desperate the situation is in reference to racial disparity, the number of people of color who are incarcerated in our jails, the fact that 66% of the people that go to state prison from San Francisco is African American, that this idea of how progressive it is in lowering recidivism should be packaged and demonstrated and given to the federal government, who are currently trying to put together a national justice initiative to do the very things that we hope they would do, affect censoring, and as well as corrections. And that's the reason why I'm running. I don't quite understand that idea about how progressive we are when we have such dire circumstances in reference to our incarcerated people, especially of color.
Very good. Thanks very much for those brief introductions. Now, before we get too much into the issues, I want to let you all explain to us, uninitiated, we have an unusual form of government in San Francisco, city and county government, which is, I think there's only a few counties in the entire country that are set up that way. So in this urban environment and in the city and county of San Francisco, what does the sheriff's department do? What's the sheriff's department responsible for, and how is it different, for example, from what the police do?
You want me to weigh in on that as the acting sheriff?
Yeah, sure. Why not? You can start on that, but I seriously want all three of you to have experience in the sheriff's department, so I want an answer from all three of you.
Well, I can give you literal interpretations. As a former member of the Board of Supervisors and on the Budget Committee for 7 years, you know, we intimately understand the sheriff's department, and it was limited in scope going back over 70 years ago to give San Francisco Police Department the primary response at 911 and neighborhood public safety. But that didn't preclude or exclude the sheriff's department from also being that augmenting public safety force. The other thing is we preside over the jails. And like all sheriff's departments in the United States, county-wise, we execute evictions and we protect government buildings. But of course, I believe that we can do a lot more. And in some ways, that's part of the test, I think, of this election.
Vicki Hennessy, I think I heard you trying to chime in there. Don't be, since you've got a slight disadvantage being on the phone, speak up. Thank you.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, the Sheriff's Department, as Ross said, is responsible for a number of things. And through the administrative code, our prime responsibility is the administration of the county jail, as well as the civil process, executing civil process, as well as performing patrol in county buildings. And as he also said, there is provisions to allow us to do more than that. And in my years in the Sheriff's Department as charge of field services division, I worked very hard on that in doing what we could in the field and working with the San Francisco Police Department and other agencies in that manner.
John Robinson, what can you tell us about your perceptions of what the Sheriff's Department does What key responsibilities here?
Well, definitely it's a custody situation, jails, courts, and civil. But the Sheriff's Department is the primary responsibility for those that have been identified by the criminal justice system for the purposes of corrections and rehab. The Sheriff's Department has a great impact on the lives of the individuals who are in custody, and as a result, should be able to identify and promulgate a path that will allow them to be successful when reentering society. The jails, is just one aspect of the department. It carries, the sheriff is only one of two elected public safety officers. So in his responsibility, his mandate comes from the state constitution. He has a real powerful position to be able to impact those individuals who are already on the edge. And I think we need to look at the sheriff's department as more than just a custody situation or a civil situation or a court situation. The sheriff mentions the Five Keys Chartered School and receiving an award for giving out over 1,000 GEDs. But in the...
Actually, high school diplomas.
High school diplomas and GEDs, if I understand correctly. Thank you for that correction, Sheriff. But what's happening is that if we have 66% of the people who are involved in this going from the county jails in the state prison at some point and suffering 30% unemployment in certain communities, how viable is that program? Has it analyzed and evaluated where they've been successful? These are the examples that we need to know. We talk about that pipeline of education to prison is a real issue in the educators' community right now.
You know, I appreciate sort of the global perspective of criminal justice.
It's affecting truancy.
Yeah.
It's affecting women, families. Every time a person is removed, a male is removed from their household, it creates circumstances where economic depression comes in reference to the families because they lose a supporter. And in San Francisco, that's a very difficult circumstances.
So I'll ask all three of you, what can the Sheriff's Department do about that kind of problem, helping people when they get out and not getting them in there in the first place?
Well, we're doing it. And both of my opponents haven't been in the Sheriff's Department for a while. Mr. Robinson, nearly over 20 years or so, and Ms. Hennessy, as she stated before. And I think we have to recognize the proof. The proof is that we're recognized as a leader in the state. And here's the corrections. The Governor Brown's State Secretary over Corrections and Rehabilitation has come to our jails and says that we're the model for the state, especially under state prisoner realignment. And I have an intimate connection to realignment, not just because of the fact that I'm sheriff and it's occurred mostly under my administration, but as the supervisor for San Francisco. I wrote nearly the half a dozen ordinances that prepared the city for realignment, and we've been able to show how to keep jail population down. What was stated earlier is incorrect. For a city our size, we actually have the lowest commitments to the state of California prison system, and we've had the lowest commitments in the state per capita for many, many years. So the responsibility has actually been on the municipal sheriff's department to prove rehabilitation. And a comment that was made earlier is also incorrect, and it said that there is nothing in the charter and there is nothing in the state mandate that says that county sheriffs are responsible for reentry and rehabilitation. What has boomed in the last 4 years because of state prisoner realignment is an added responsibility to sheriffs to step up to the plate or not, which is why so many counties dislike realignment, and counties like San Francisco have actually been doing a really decent job, and we're being recognized for it.
That demonstrates, his statements demonstrate that lack of knowledge about the department. He's been sheriff for exactly 3.5 years. His knowledge before that is obviously lacking, because the sheriff has had a vital role in those issues going back to Richard Hengisto, who was the most progressive sheriff in San Francisco. He hired the first gays. He converted the women who were called matrons into deputy sheriff, giving him an opportunity to promote. He also had a sheriff's parole where he followed people throughout their release from jail in hoping that they could develop some real strong policies on how to manage their life where they wouldn't go back to jail. The sheriff is that conduit that assists people in correcting their lives.
Okay. Vicki Hennessy has now joined us in the studio. Welcome, Vicki, in
Thank
person.
You.
Now, Sheriff Richard Hengisto, I thought he was the one who went around and rounded up all the Bay Times newspapers.
As police chief.
So how is he pro-gay? When he was police chief?
Oh, that was when he was police chief. He hired the first openly gay deputy sheriff, Rudy Cox, in 1974 in the sheriff's department. He also changed the list of women from matrons to deputy sheriffs, the list that Vicki came off of, that gave them a chance to promote as she did in 1975. So, you know, when he was chief of police, it was a different person. But as sheriff, he was considered the most progressive person most progressive sheriff at that time in America.
I think we all worked, we all knew Richard Hongiesto. We all worked for him. At least I worked for him, and I know John worked for him. And I would say that certainly in the sheriff's department that we were on the forefront in diversity, as well as women, as well as racial diversity, ethnic diversity of our deputies. And I think that that continues today. And I wanted to say something because I just got to the studio, but I wanted to say something about the sheriff's department. And the sheriff's department, for many years in the 80s and 90s, we had an over-incarceration rate, and we were up to 3,000 inmates at one time. So the sheriff, Michael Hennessy, put in a number of worked with a number of people in the city and made sure that we had alternatives and programs to get people out of jail as much as possible. And we did that, as well as AB 109, which Sheriff Mercurimi was just talking about. That was instituted when I was interim sheriff. I started some work on that. I will say the bulk of the work happened after I was gone, and I think that the reentry prod was a great idea. I also will say that I think that we have less people in jail today due to sentencing changes, Prop 47, as well as some, if you think about the drug scandal that occurred around 2010, that let out a lot of people from jail as well. And so all these things are combining together. But I think in terms of the programs, they've been in place for a number of years, and there's many very good and solid programs. And adult probation caught up and started doing their part when AB 109 was passed.
Can I add something to that?
Please.
So in the United States, 56% of our jail population and prison population are mothers and fathers and guardians. And that statistic is reflected about 40%. There wasn't a single program in San Francisco until we hyper-focused on the need for building better bonds between children and their incarcerated parents and guardians. And as sheriff, not only am I trying to, and we're trying to, I think, help the people that are before us in custody, I'm betting two steps ahead generationally that if we can be a more positive force of children of the incarcerated, we're actually improving public safety in the future. And that's the kind of sheriff's department that we need to change, and that to be agile. I appreciate the discussion about nostalgia row 30, 40 years ago in San Francisco under Sheriff Hongiesto, but the challenges today are remarkably different than the challenges were 40 years ago, except for one thing, that there's a culture in law enforcement that has been persistent for 50 years that wants full jails. Whether it's in the United States or in the state of California or even in San Francisco, that's why we need to continue to advance an independent sheriff.
I would assume that the two of you are perhaps, Ross and John Robinson, are perhaps a little bit in agreement about too many people in jails. Do you agree with that, Vicki Hennessy?
I think anything we can do to help people gather the skills, gather the have the programs that will help them, the treatment programs that will help them not reoffend, are the things that we should be doing, and we have done. While I was in the sheriff's department, we did that for years, and we should continue to do that. And I don't think there's a monopoly of good ideas for anybody. I think everybody sitting here tonight may have a good idea. I think what we have to concentrate on in this area is actually the process of getting things done and getting things into place and having the ability to communicate and having the ability to lead and having the ability to work with people. I think it's a very important component that has to be in place, and to coordinate all our efforts with adult probation, with the district attorney in terms of our programs, and on the way out, making sure that our programs don't stop on the door on the way out for the people that are leaving.
You're listening to City Visions on KALW. Tonight we are joined by the three candidates for sheriff of City and County of San Francisco: incumbent Sheriff Ross Mercurimi, current sheriff, and challengers John Robinson and Vicki Hennessy, former interim sheriff for about 4 months there, and
about seven months
in 2012.
In between okay. 6 and 7, let's go there.
And I want to invite our listeners to call in. We've got these candidates here. Now's the time to ask your questions and ask them the tough ones. Ask them whatever you want. The phone number is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Or you can email or text us at cityvisions@kalw.org. That's email cityvisions@kalw.org. Or post a comment on our Facebook page or on kalw.org. Our Twitter handle is @cityvisionskalw. What do you think of the sanctuary city policy? Have you had an experience with our county jails? Do you have a question for one of our candidates? Again, the number is 415-841-4134. So I just learned today that, as I asked before what the responsibilities of the Sheriff's Department, I just learned today that the Sheriff's Department has responsibility over San Francisco General Hospital and Laguna Honda. I didn't know that before. I don't know if most voters know that.
It's a contract that was signed about 14 years ago by Sheriff Mike Hennessy, where we installed our security services. And it was woefully unmanaged in that contract, but things have improved considerably there.
Mm-hmm. What has to happen there? I mean, is it just like, in other words, it's another building, it's another piece of property that you have to provide security in?
What has to happen there is that, in my opinion, is I agree that we were not afforded the funds to do it properly, and I think that has changed, and I think that's because of the issue with Lynn Spaulding on the stairway.
Mm-hmm.
And,
this is a woman who was found dead on the stairway, but she's been missing for about 2 weeks.
That's right.
17 days, I think, was it. And I think that it's important that when we're doing these things for 14 years, that this becomes part of the sheriff's budget, and the sheriff has the responsibility of managing that budget and making sure that we can provide the services that really need to be provided for any campus, any facility that we're responsible for.
John Robinson?
I don't think the situation of Lynn Spaulding in the stairwell was a money issue. I think it was a lack of protocol, officers not following the policies and procedures dictating what they should do. If I run a private business, I check the inner perimeter and outer perimeter of buildings. I have to put up this station, and I paid $8,000 for this program in order for the officers to go around. I sit down once a week with the client and go over that. If I didn't check that perimeter for 17 days, more than likely I would be terminated in the private sector. How is it that these officers cannot follow protocol? And then we define it as the leaders, and this is the issue with this, not taking responsibility or being accountable, as a money issue.
When
especially the sheriff refuses to talk to the one person in San Francisco that could solve money issues, because we realize that as the mayor, he has the political power to allocate resources. We can impact all of these programs and all of these dire issues for San Francisco, like homeless, like a mass incarceration of people, reentry, all with how we manage and allocate funds.
Quick response from Sheriff McGreen.
Well, it was a long statement, so I'll try to make a compact response.
I hope to get a little shorter.
But it's actually incorrect, and it's been a lot of misstatements. I've actually written the mayor over a dozen times and have sought meetings. So, no, I have not refused to meet with him at all. And I meet with all the criminal justice leaders. It's the mayor who demonstrates, I think, a form of governance style that is taking the city in the wrong direction. But that's a slightly different, I think, point of view. I think it's vital that we recognize that what was happening at San Francisco General Hospital is something that I'm very familiar with when I was on the Board of Supervisors. They tried to privatize the security 5 times, and I fought, among other supervisors, against that effort to privatize by ejecting the Sheriff's Department out. And what never happened during that period when I was on the Board of Supervisors is they refused to put the resources of staffing and upgrading on equipment. Hell, they weren't even patched into 911 on Turk Street while Vicky was presiding over 911.
Is that true?
That's how crude.
Yes,
that's true.
And I offered to do it. And I offered to do it. And I offered to do it. And I was right there. And I was trying to do it. And it was not accepted by the Sheriff's Department at that time.
Okay.
Which isn't me. But in the point.
Yes.
But the point is that what we did was turn a very bad situation around, and now for the first time in the history of the SF General Hospital, we're able to demonstrate on the interior and the exterior the kind of professional patrol it deserves and it always should have.
Okay. Now, before I go to one caller, we have a caller on the line we're going to go to in a moment. A moment or two ago, I think, Vicky, you mentioned something about a drug scandal in 2010. Was that
right.
You?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
That was more about the drug lab scandal, and I think your listeners will remember that and the evidence. And that was. And I realized there were a number of prisoners who were let out of jail. I think it was between 300 and 400, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong. People can correct me on that number.
Okay. Let's go to Susan in San Francisco. Welcome to City Visions. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
I can. What's your question or comment?
My question is, I'd like to know very concretely what steps each of these candidates would take to address the very serious issue of racial profiling, racism, and the excessive use of force by police officers.
And stay with us on the line, Susan, if you would, in case we have a follow-up question for you. Who wants to start? Vicki, let's start with you.
Sure,
this time.
I'll start with that. I think that in the San Francisco Sheriff's Department, we have a history of working very hard. And as I mentioned before, we do have a great diversity in our department. In fact, we have 34% Asian, 33% Caucasian, 23% African American, and 23% Latino. And I think that's one step. That's only one step. But I also think that we need to have some programs and make sure that we're doing some implicit bias training for our staff, but also as well as that, people in jail as well. I think it's something all of us could benefit from. It's not just deputy sheriffs. It's everybody. I also think that in terms of profiling, we're going to be following Malia Cohen's recent ordinance to make sure that we're documenting any type of contact we have with people when we're out on the street. And I think that's very important to make sure that that is kept up and that we're documenting that and that it becomes a statistic and we follow up with that. And I also think that we need to make sure that we're promoting people and working with people and making sure that everybody has the information they need on not to do that. Once again, I also think we can do follow-ups on early warning systems and complaints against our staff to make sure that that's not happening as well. So I think there's a number of things, including establishing information on our website, making sure that people understand how to complain if they have complaints. I'd also like to see them send in commendations as well if that is something that they can do. So there's a number of things that I think we can do.
That's Vicki Hennessy, John Robinson. What's your perception of to what extent does racial profiling still happen in the city and county of San Francisco?
Well, there's different forms of bias. There's explicit and then there's implicit, which Vicki commented, which was defined by the president's report on 21st century policing. We have to be able to train individuals to be knowledgeable about their own psychological makeup so that we understand when they are drifting between those two concepts. And that's the way to get them to identify the issues that bring up profiling. Just because you see two African Americans in a car, does that give you justification to stop? That's the profiling aspect. The mass incarceration of African Americans and Hispanic men, women, and children is a result of our policies that was instituted that created this caste system, so well pointed out by Michelle Alexander in her book, The New Jim Crow. What we've done is defined it in a certain way that we have basically created this whole system that these people are carrying the prison system and the criminal justice system on their back. It's a common ground issue. And there's a national initiative where people have come together of all different divergent views and from both sides of the aisle that are communicating and see it as a common ground issue, because 25% of the people incarcerated in the world are right here in the United States of America.
Russ Marcrini.
So the caller asked for concrete. So let's give her concrete. In 2013, I submitted legislation to the Board of Supervisors, and this isn't a common thing for a sheriff to do, but I did anyway. And that is that I recommended how we can thin out the jail system by nearly 150 people by expanding the statutory authority of the sheriff for electronic monitoring. Mayor Lee had dispatched Police Chief Greg Sir to the Board of Supervisors and scare the Board of Supervisors in believing that we'd be letting out murders, rapists, and thieves. But for me, this was a concrete response of multiple issues that have been dominating our attention about a replacement jail, when the Hall of Justice comes down, about high incarceration rates of African Americans, and yet we're the custodians. We're not the people who prosecute, and we're not the courts that sentence. But I'm willing to go that extra step, use both my platform to legislate and the pulpit to make sure San Francisco's not let off the hook and thinking that it's this kind of liberal progressive city when it's not. And so when the mayor had helped catalyze the Board of Supervisors say no to that kind of legislation, then to me that was a missed opportunity in a way that we could enhance public safety, but show that San Francisco is sensitive to the fact that we have a disproportionate incarceration of black and brown people and poor people simply for the fact that they can't pay the high bail schedules that exist in San Francisco. That's what an independent progressive sheriff is. You know, when we were going through that legislative fight, Neither one of these two opponents came to the defense of that legislation, and I'm not surprised by that, because I think that there's some very vivid differences between us of what it means taking the fight to the carpet, even in a very unpopular way.
Susan, do you have the three candidates answered your question to your satisfaction? Are you still there?
Well, not really. I mean, I think Vicky just said, you know, we'll collect data, which we're already doing, and Mercurimi seems more interested in blaming other people for what he couldn't get done. I really think that John Robinson was the only one who seemed to have some very solid, concrete proposals for what he would actually do. So thank you, John Robinson, and I think I will be voting for you after tonight.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll do better.
Well, we may have a chance to get back to this issue
a little bit later
in the conversation. Thank you very much for your call, Susan. We have an email from Anne asking about the, if I'm getting the word right, she said the aquaponics education program. And tell us how many inmates have been able to go home to employment upon their release. Can you, any of you comment on that? I'm not sure even...
Well,
exactly
it happened under our administration. I'm proud that we're the first sheriff's department in California to hybridize hydroponics and our agriculture to have kind of a fish farming system, which saves 90% of water from conventional agriculture. It just got unveiled about 6 to 8 weeks ago, so it's in its infancy, but we're very excited about the apparatus setup, the academic and vocational training while one's in custody with us, and the partnerships we've set up in the Bayview Hunters Point area so that when people are released, they can continue their training and become job apprentices. I think it's the kind of technology that's the wave of the future, and it's cool that we're doing it with communities that are so underserved.
In the 1970s, I was involved in hydroponics and started a fish farm. It's a very difficult undertaking and wasn't able to do it here in San Francisco. I had to go up to Santa Rosa. I needed the space and the land. The issues with these communities in San Francisco is that we need to provide jobs and skills that will get people jobs. It's a nice idea to learn what hydroponic gardening is and fish farming, but I don't know how many jobs you would glean from that here in San Francisco. It's an acquired taste. But we have 30% unemployment in the African-American community and that number in the Hispanic community, and we're releasing people in a environment where it takes more than average to survive, so we need to provide more than average skills to be able to accomplish success with reentry.
John Robinson, thank you. Vicki Hennessey?
I'm just going to add on to that. I think that it's a nice thing, and I think throughout the 30 years in the department, there were a number of programs that got started, and some were successful and some were not, and there's experimentation going on, and that's not a bad thing. Once again, I don't think anybody has a monopoly on the best ideas. I think there's good ideas. It's about process. I will say that I am supported by a number of unions, and a number of the unions have offered apprenticeship programs and things of that nature, which are, I think, the types of jobs that people are looking for that will hopefully have a future for them. I'm not saying that there isn't room for more jobs in other areas, but I am saying that I bring that to the table. It's one of the things that I'm hoping, if I am elected, because it's been promised to me by these unions that they would work with us in getting these jobs for people as they exit jail. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. You're listening to City Visions on Local Public Radio, 91.7 KALW San Francisco, and on the web at KALW.org. Tonight, we're joined by the three candidates on the ballot for November 3rd, next month, Sheriff of the City and County of San Francisco. My guests here in the studio are incumbent Sheriff Ross Mercurimi, challenger and former interim Sheriff Vicki Hennessey, and challenger John Robinson, a former San Francisco Sheriff's deputy and now a private security operator. I invite you to call with your questions. We have a few lines open still. The phone number is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Or email a question to us at cityvisions@kalw.org. That's cityvisions@kalw.org. Let's turn now to the sanctuary city issue. What does it mean, first of all, to be a sanctuary city? Let's just start with what it means to be a sanctuary city. John Robinson, let's start with you.
Place providing opportunities for people who are trying to take care of their families, people who want to come here and make a good living. That's one of the reasons they're coming here. And I believe that those individuals should be protected against any government agency that is trying to disrupt their life. I run a site over in San Rafael called Marin Square. ICE comes over to pull raids on a regular basis. I have three officers. They wanted me to block off the garage, the driveway, so that the people couldn't get through when they pulled the raids. I said, no. If an individual was committing a crime, that individual needs to be brought to the attention of the criminal justice system or to ICE for whatever reason. But people who are just trying to make a living, day laborers and those kind of individuals, I believe that sanctuary policies should protect them.
Vicki Hennessy.
I'm going to go a little beyond what John said. I think that the sanctuary city policies certainly were put in place to stop profiling of undocumented immigrants, to protect people and their families that are here. The vast majority of people who are here as undocumented immigrants are certainly law-abiding, and they're put in place to engender trust between the community and law enforcement so that people that are undocumented will hopefully report crimes in their community and also serve as witnesses. But I also think there's a public safety issue here in terms of people who are have been convicted of felonies previously, and I think that there needs to be a look at that and a case-by-case basis for notification. But I do agree with the fact that there's no detention, and a detainer means that somebody will be held up to 48 hours beyond when they would otherwise be let out in San Francisco. So I think that as the sheriff, as a public safety officer, has an issue to make sure that the public is safe, but also balancing that with the social justice side. And I think that there is a case to be made with our two sanctuary city policies that are not necessarily in sync with each other, that we need to be cognizant of both.
Mm-hmm. Sheriff Marcarimi.
Well, this is a subject that very much has and had me in the eye of the storm, and it's one that I welcome a very open and transparent discussion. San Francisco suffers, I think, from a real schizophrenia between its local aims and desires of protecting undocumented immigrants and how that is incongruent with both state and federal law. And what was spotlighted in the very tragic death of Ms. Steinle was what that schizophrenia looks like.
Let's just remind folks of what happened, the very basics of the case. This is Kate Steinle is a woman who was killed along the waterfront.
Pier 14.
Pier 14. And tell us just a little bit about the circumstances of that. And
well, the case is underway, but I'll tell you what at least we think we know as what has been made public is that a man named Mr. Lopez Sanchez, who had been deported from the United States six times, was completing his federal service at Victorville Federal Prison. ICE was very well aware of his status and his trajectory because they had already deported him. That's right. He had already been deported five previous times. What was quickly misreported was the fact that we sought him out to bring him back, meaning the Sheriff's Department, which is incorrect. There are two kinds of warrants, a DA warrant, which we actually would have some influence on, and a bench warrant, which we're obligated to carry out the wishes of the courts. ICE knew that he was returning back, and because of a 20-year-old unsolved bench warrant for marijuana possession, as anybody would expect, the case was summarily dismissed by the courts. And then he stayed his time when it was determined, because he had many aliases, if in fact that he completed his sincere time with the feds. He was then let out, and then some weeks later, as we understand, he found a gun or stole a gun from a federal agent of the Bureau of Land Management. A lot of that happening with law enforcement these days, stolen guns. Apparently the gun was used in the commission or in the accidental commission that ended up resulting in the death of Ms. Steinle. And that's playing itself out now. And what is it? The heart of this debate is not the 1989 or the 1993 law for Sanctuary City, which was born out of a response to the massive exodus of people from Central America because of the wars that were occurring in Central America. And San Francisco is trying to be a humane and compassionate city and how to receive them and what their interaction with government should be and vice versa. It was the 2013 law that was passed by the Board of Supervisors and signed to effect by Mayor Lee that stipulated created the first prescription on how to deal with ICE. The 1989 and 1993 law was about the INS. And while they're cousins in many ways, this was in response because of the reckless policies of ICE called secure communities. And we were literally following the law as it was envisioned here in San Francisco. But the demonizing that resulted, and I can understand the emotions that were evoked, but the demonizing that was being applied towards immigrants and undocumented and for local politicians and federal and Donald Trump, you know, trying to capitalize on that situation, what that did was just only muddle the debate that much further. We need to come together, as I wrote Mayor Lee in July 15th, a three-page letter. And I said, Mayor Lee, I want you to come with me to the front of the Board of Supervisors, and let's have a transparent, open discussion about what law you want me to practice. But until then, I'm not buying it, where you're saying you're for sanctuary city, but you're telling me with a wink and a nod to practice something else. And as sheriff, that's exactly what I should be standing up for and demanding clarity of our laws, just so that we have our expectations synced up.
Now,
Vicki Hennessey and John Robinson.
I was going to say, I think the sheriff had an opportunity to make something right here. And I think, and I do believe that this could have happened. Nobody could have foreseen this happening when Mr. Lopez Sanchez was released. Nobody could have ever thought that this would ever happen. So forget about demonizing people. I don't think that's what should happen, and I don't think that's what is happening, at least in San Francisco. I will say, though, that when somebody gets out of federal prison, when somebody gets out of state prison, it's routine for that
Absolutely.
Person to check their records. And if they see that there's a warrant somewhere, they call the jurisdiction and they ask them, do you want to pick this person up? Now, this is a bureaucratic thing. The deputy probably looked at it, said, oh, yeah, we have a warrant. We'll send somebody to pick him up. So San Francisco did send somebody to pick him up. He didn't just appear on our doorstep. The fact is that, and I don't know this, only perhaps Sheriff McRemy would know this, we probably didn't even know until he got here that he had an ICE hold. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And once we found out he had an ICE hold, there was an opportunity when looking at his record with 5 deportations, and this would have been the 6th, and 7 convictions for felonies, that there was an opportunity for notification of ICE. They pick up the phone and say, hey, we think you might have made a mistake. You probably wanted this person. And I think that was an opportunity that was missed. And I also think that when we say we kept him in custody for 17 more days to check all his aliases, that does not ring true. I have never heard of that before in my entire time in the sheriff's department. That has something, you know, 5 days is usually the maximum for something like that. So I think there were missed opportunities, and I think the fact that the sheriff put a no-contact clause in his directive to the deputy sheriffs in March of 2015 is something that needed to be looked at, because that came from the first sanctuary city policy, and it was meant for non-law enforcement people.
Very good. Thank you. And I want to let our callers know, thanks for your patience. We're going to get right to you after this quick comment on this issue on the sanctuary city policy.
Sheriff's Department does not operate in a vacuum. It's one of a number of criminal justice agencies. It has a responsibility in the criminal justice system to clear up documentation as much as anything else. I was the first booking sergeant at City Prison when we took it over from the San Francisco Police Department. I certainly agree with Vicki. I dealt with INS 5-day holds. At the conclusion of a 5-day hold, you were automatically released that guy, whether anybody came up to pick him up. The idea that he remained in jail for 17 days so they could check his aliases, I just don't understand why you would keep somebody beyond the length of time for that purpose when aliases are part of his record. The other aspect of it is that simply the sanctuary policy gives you an opportunity to do things with people in the aspect of managing them, whether they have a misdemeanor or a felony. You make the choice. It was in the sheriff's ballpark to make the choice.
Very good. Thanks. I'm sorry. I know you want to respond to that. We've got a whole bunch of people with questions, so let me go to them. Let's go to Steve in San Francisco. Steve, thanks so much for calling City Visions.
Hi. I have a couple of questions. The first one is, please convince me that you're going to do something that will show that you have some control over the people that work in the sheriff's department. And I'm referring to the scandal regarding some of these deputies who were forcing the inmates to do things. I don't remember all the details, but it was pretty nasty, and there was some kind of a pool or something where the inmates were betting, and the deputies were betting on these people, and if they weren't do it, if the inmates didn't do it, they were beaten. And I'm not sure if I have all my facts straight, but I think that happened within the last couple of years. And tell me something that you would do to show that you have some control over your own department. That's number one. Number two, unfortunately, regarding the unfortunate situation where Mayor Lee temporarily took away Sheriff Mercurimi's post, Sheriff Mercurimi, could you please tell me why people should not be relating to you as anything other than an arrogant opportunist? And I know that sounds harsh, but I think that is the 800-pound elephant in the room, and I would like to hear a response from both of these questions, please. Thank you.
Thank you for your call, Steve. Sheriff Mercurimi, do you want to go
absolutely.
With that?
I was waiting for your permission. So when the so-called gladiator fights had been brought to our attention...
Now, what is that? What is going on? These are guards who are kind of betting on prisoners fighting with each other, jail inmates?
Well, there's an investigation that... The reason I'm answering this question this way is that because I wouldn't allow any oxygen in the room for an investigation to be corrupted. So first sheriff in modern history to bring in the FBI. And that's unpopular with the troops. But I don't think that this is about popularity. I think, as the caller is asking, is about tempo and control and the ability to still move forward but make corrections where corrections are necessary. The goal is to have a preemptive strike so that, or preventative medicine so that these kind of things don't happen. But when they do happen, it is about a swift response. That's important leadership that continues to move a paramilitary institution together and forward like this. The FBI hasn't concluded their investigation. One deputy has actually already been terminated for other matters, but was implicated in this particular case. And the second thing is I'm the first sheriff in the state of California to ask for body cameras. I think it's important to be transparent and held accountable with the clarion call by President Obama that once body cameras on law enforcement on the streets of America, I can make twice the case on why they should be on staff that works in prisons and jails at all levels. And I think that that will help fortify the concerns, I think, or the answers to the concerns of this particular caller. And in terms of my own mistakes and where it was made so high profile that people, you may think that I'm just completely at a deficit and politically handicapped. I mean, I preside over the industry of second chances. That's in some ways what the sheriff in San Francisco is supposed to do. And I have tried to apply myself in every particular way possible to show in a public eye how to, one, rights their wrongs and the ability to still move ahead and navigate in the way that we have, in a way that we've been able to prove that we are leaders in this state, in this country, in criminal justice. And I will continue to try to be an example, both for our staff and the people in our custody and the people of San Francisco.
Do you want?
I want to ask something else first. I want to ask, like, is this, you know, as far as these gladiator fights or whatever they're called, is this a problem of cop culture that's been going on for centuries or decades at least? Or is it a sheriff's problem? Is it fair to blame the sheriff, the current sheriff, for this?
It's a matter.
This is Don Robinson. Thank you.
It's a matter that he accuses me of being nostalgic, but he loves to use Michael Hennessy's 32 years as a justification for his administration.
Because he supports me.
But I work. Yes, I understand why, too. I worked at San Quentin Prison. 1971, we had issues like this. But it was only 7 years after the Voting Rights Act and only 6 years after, I mean, 6 years after the Voting Rights Act and 7 years after the Civil Rights Act, the end of Jim Crow. What we got is a culture where officers feel like they don't have to respond to leadership. One of the things that Richard Hengisto did was hire an individual who would simply evaluate personnel to make sure. Not in my orientation class at San Quentin, there was 12 of us. On the day we started to work, 2 weeks later, there was 2 officers. Not everybody can work in a jail.
Mm-mm.
You have to train people. And then you have to learn that little idiosyncrasies, the things that make them unable to manage themselves in that kind of a custody circumstance. If we don't train people, provide the leadership, deal with morale issues, demonstrate fairness and respect, not only for the officers but for inmates, that will create a trickle-down effect that you can get their attention to at least provide the training and retraining and the responsibility they have to protect civil liberties as well as public safety.
Vicki Hennessy.
This is jail 101 for me in terms of operation. I worked in the jail. I was the captain of that jail for a few years, and I'm very familiar with that jail. It's a linear jail. It's one of our oldest jails. It's in the Hall of Justice, and it's, you know, the Hall of Justice is seismically unsafe, but that's another category. I think it's kind of simple in a way. If you're a captain of a jail, you need to be managing by walking around. You have to make sure that you understand what's going on in the back of the jail, the front of the jail. But more than that, you have to be training your supervisors to watch for these things. And when you don't have strong supervisions or strong supervisors doing that kind of thing, sometimes you get a person that fills a vacuum. This particular instance now, I understand, only included four deputies. I understand one was exonerated, one was fired, and there's two still under investigation, is my understanding. So if that's the case, this is another one of those things where supervisors weren't following up and making sure that they were doing what they were supposed to do. This comes with training. This comes with setting expectations, understanding those expectations, and holding people accountable at the boots on the ground level. And I think that's very important. And I think that's what has not been done with this administration for some time.
One of the officers, just to piggyback off of Vicki, one of the officers already had a claim of $920,000 paid out on some action of his previously. How does that individual get in a custody situation, clearly demonstrating that he didn't have the benevolency of the people he was responsible for in his hands?
That sounds like something that probably was in place before the sheriff came on duty. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
It's years
just
before.
To clear that up.
Just so it was years before.
Years before, okay. But in his... Okay.
But right. And it wasn't 925, it was 90,000. So there, I think you got some facts wrong. But I want to say, though, you asked the question about culture. And I think that we're always susceptible, even in the most liberal city in the United States, that there is cliques or cultures that continue to perpetuate the kind of concerns that somebody of my political bent would be concerned about. This is why that the deputy unions rarely ever endorsed my predecessor, Mike Hennessy, nor myself, and then they are supporting my opponent, my primary opponent here. And I think because they do like people that are part of the inside, and this feigning that, well, you know, they need to upgrade morale to have somebody like, you know, that they like. Well, President Obama and leaders of states really experience nothing less when it's the paramilitary or military that says, hey, we don't want this guy.
Okay, well, fair enough, because that segues to our next caller that I want to bring in, who I think has a question about how important is it that the candidates get along with Mayor Lee. So, Carl in San Francisco, are you still with us? Carl, is Carl still with us?
Yes, I am.
Thank you, Carl.
I'd be curious to hear how all three candidates feel that they'd work with Mayor Lee and how important it is for the sheriff's office to have a good working relationship with the mayor's office.
I think there was some mention earlier in our conversation about the getting funding and how much does that cooperative relationship matter, and how much does it matter to be a progressive against a mayor who is perhaps not as progressive as you are? Vicki Hennessy, let's start with you. For a change. I hope I'm being fair here. I'm trying.
I think it's important to get along with most people, and I think that effective government happens when people communicate and people in positions of authority can communicate with each other. I don't think it's just Mayor Lee. I think it's communication and not being as adversarial, but working with people for solutions together, for the solutions that face us all. And I think it's very important to understand that communication isn't just a one-way street. Communication has a lot to do with listening. Communication has to do with reaching out. Communication has to do with maybe even agreeing to disagree at times. And I think there's some room for disagreement, even between myself and Mayor Lee. But I do think that it's important to be able to bring people together to collaborate, because we're not in this alone as a sheriff's department. We need to work with the public defender, the district attorney, and everybody else, and everything we do. And in fact, we need to be seen as part of the solution and working with people on crime strategy in the city and making sure that we're being fair to people, we're protecting people's rights, but we're also producing public safety with people in the community.
Sheriff's John Department, Robinson. As I received stated earlier, does not operate in a vacuum. The sheriff is a person that needs to at least communicate with the sheriff, because they're the ones that allocate the resources. We've seen what politicians not talking to each other has done in Washington. Do we really want that same kind of environment here in San Francisco, where we don't have one of our chief public safety officers not talking to the chief administrator of the city? This kind of situation has to be resolved if we're going to move forward with anything similar to the national initiative on how to de-incarcerate jails. We need everybody's help, because there is racial disparity. Families are being challenged. People are suffering. Unexplained deaths. These kinds of things need the attention of not only the sheriff, but the mayor, in order to resolve them.
I think we should be,
Sheriff Margarini.
I think we should be very concerned that we would have to be on bended knee in order to have a relationship with the mayor, or that we hope that we're one of the very people that the mayor wants to meet with, because he gets along with us. We should be doing the business of the people of San Francisco. And no matter what animus or disagreements we may have, you still got to move forward. It's not for a lack of try. As I said earlier, and what is fact, is I've written number of letters to the mayor and have asked to meet with him. That's on him if he doesn't want to meet with me. But what that didn't deter is our ability to maintain and enhance our leadership in the criminal justice system in California and in the United States, with significant initiatives that we asked the mayor to be part of, but he did not. I mean, he didn't even want to sign the Harvard cover letter when we were nominated by Harvard for the Innovation American Government Award, the only law enforcement agency in the country. It's that level, I think, of style of government that is leading to the concerns of the people. San Francisco, think of oligarchy is forming in City Hall. And as a former member of the Board of Supervisors, who's on the Budget Committee for many years, I think we've demonstrated quite effectively how we can move the department forward in getting money and resources that don't depend on the general fund.
Okay. We're almost out of time, so I'm going to have to ask each one of you to give, like, a, you know, basically a 30-second closing statement, or maybe 45 seconds. John Robinson, let's start with you.
Thank you very much. This has been quite an experience for me. I tried to do this in a way that would gain respect, give myself an opportunity to state a program for the Sheriff's Department that's essential for the survival of people, giving them an opportunity. And I just simply am requesting that I get everybody's vote on November 3rd.
John Robinson, thank you so much. Vicki Hennessy.
Yes, I have a vision of the Sheriff's Department that's professional, well-trained, humane, and has dedicated public servants working to take care of our jails. But I think it needs a leader, and a leader like me. And I'm not a drama person. I'm not very dramatic, but I am somebody who gets work done behind the scenes. I did it for many years, and I can continue to do it in front of the scenes at this point. And I think it's necessary to have somebody who can communicate effectively to build community, somebody whose actions match your words, somebody who can generate integrity through transparency, and somebody who will be there and can use
okay.
Go ahead.
Sorry,
I'm going to let you go.
Wrap up.
Go ahead.
Ross Margarine, 30
Ross.
Seconds.
Well, I'm going to share with you what I share with everybody else that I talk to, that I want to improve public safety by tackling real problems. Mm-hmm. It means enforcing greater law enforcement accountability. It means stopping homelessness caused by evictions. It means increasing mental health treatment in the city, so we're not criminalizing mental health.
Okay,
it means stop criminalizing poverty as well.
That's City Visions for this evening. Our guest tonight was Sheriff Ross Margarine, Sheriff of the City and County of San Francisco, former interim Sheriff Vicki Hennessy, John John Robinson, former San Francisco Sheriff's Deputy and now owner of a private security company. Thanks for all of you for joining me. For a link to this and other City Vision shows, let us know what you think about tonight's program. To subscribe, visit the City Visions page on KLW.org. Our engineer this evening was Debbie Kennedy. The show is produced by Wendy Holcomb. Next week, we'll continue our election coverage with District 3 candidates. I'm your guest host, Eric Jansen. Thanks for listening. Good night and have a great week.